at rodeo this week with his two daughters that still are at home, and that's where they are today. Spring is a busy time for that. And so we have as a guest this morning, Mr. Jim Hogensen, and we appreciate him taking the time out of his morning. And I know his desire is Jesus, and that's why we ask him to be here to speak just that to you. So Jim, come on up and bring, we sure can.
Let's agree together in prayer. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for giving us your word, for blessing us with the Bible, that we could be trained up, we could be encouraged, filled up with the power of your word. And Father, we agree together that it's your word that will not return void to you, but let it accomplish in each person what you please. We trust you to meet everyone at their point of need, encourage them, strengthen them. Father, may this be a time of equipping of this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, please. Or to your phones, all right? Luke 18. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them that men should always pray and not lose heart. That men should always pray and not lose heart. Saying, there was a certain city, in a certain city, a judge. Now listen to this. Who did not fear God, nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to Jesus, or to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So she's got a problem, and she's got an adversary, and she wants justice. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, or I get that means get justice, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge or get justice for his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Everybody say speedily. You know what that means? Fast. You know, my kids, my boys especially, used to get the tennis shoes that were the fastest, right? Now the ones that light up when they run, they're the fastest. Speedily, it means fast, it means quickly. Means he's not hanging around waiting for something else to happen. Look, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus is making a comparison between a totally unjust, not fearing God man, does not regard men. So this is a pretty wicked judge, right? And he's comparing him to God Almighty. And he says, look, this widow woman went to this judge, this awful, cruel judge, and she got help because she continued to go to him. Now look, you've got God Almighty who loves you, who cares for you, who calls you the elect. The scripture in Colossians chapter 3 that says, beloved, holy and elect of God. That's how God sees us, his beloved, his elect, his chosen. That's what that means, right? Chosen to be people who will come before him and pray. So she was in dire straits. She was in trouble. We don't always have a difficult situation, although the situation with Bob is difficult, and it hurts my heart to hear that. Known him for years and years, since 1976, actually. Some of the first years that they were here in Yuma County, farming north of Ray, north of Laird. Anyway, so this widow's persistent, right? Jesus' point at the beginning was, I desire that all men, that means man and woman, don't exclude yourself, women, when he says that, right? Would pray and not faint, not lose heart. Well, why would you lose heart? What would be the reason you would lose heart? You know what? Looking at your situation or the circumstance, or for her, she had trouble. She had an adversary or adversaries that were coming at her in an unjust way. When we look at our circumstance or look at the trouble that we're going through, sometimes it's easy to lose heart. And what's the result? We don't pray. And Jesus said, I want you to always pray and not faint. So one of the questions over the years that I've gotten from people is, you know what? First of all, I'm not sure that I'm worthy to pray. Second of all, I don't know how to pray. So therefore, I don't pray much. Well, neither are very good excuses. And here's the reason why. Is because it's very simple. Jesus said in John 14 and 16 and other places, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. In my name, he said, in my name. I appreciate the way Jeff prayed. At the end, he just prayed, and he prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's one of my pet peeves. People that pray and say, we pray in your name. That's not the same as praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody out there? Amen. It's not the same to say we pray in your name. I don't know how we got to that. But it makes me cringe when I'm like, no, pray in Jesus' name. It's the name above every name. It's the name, the Bible says, at which every knee bows. It's a powerful name. And we've been given the use of that name. In fact, we've been commanded to use that name. So pray in Jesus' name. Who's worthy to pray? We just sang a couple of songs. One, we sang 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what that means? We have right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Now, the next parable here in Luke 18 goes on to talk about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee was all pride and said, you look at me, I pay tithes and, you know, do all this. And the Pharisee said, have mercy upon me, you know, for I'm a sinner. He humbled himself before God. So it's important to humble ourselves, but it's important to think of ourselves as highly as God does. He says, his word says, he's made us righteous. He's accepted us. We have right standing with God. Therefore, we have an invitation. What is it? Come boldly before the throne of grace, before God's throne, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does it mean to come boldly? Come with confidence. Now, I can't come with confidence if I'm worried about whether God loves me or whether or not, you know, I've done enough this last week that he's not going to hear me. Do you follow me? Anybody ever hear those words about, well, you know, who are you? Who do you think you are that you're going to pray? Who do you think you are? Anybody hear those? You're not worthy. Those are damning words. Those are words that will put you under. If you listen to them, if you pay attention to them, they'll paralyze you. Like, okay, I'll let Jeff pray. He prays good at church. You know, we'll let him pray. Don't let yourself believe the lie that other people will pray and they'll get it done because they know how to pray. I've heard them pray. They know how to pray. I forget your name. Jean?
Judy.
Judy's been here a long time. Howard and Nancy. They're strong Christians. They know how to pray. We'll let them pray. We'll let the prayers pray. Well, guess what? We're all prayers. Put your hand up. We're all prayers. Jesus said, I want men, the elect of God, the church of God, to always pray and not faint. So we have the privilege of prayer. We have the privilege. It's not a burden. It's a privilege to pray. When Paul, when he addresses the church in Philippi especially, he talks about the joy he has for that church, for those people in that church, the joy it is to pray for them. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. All right? But we need to know how important it is. We need to go to this. Go to Daniel chapter 10. This is a rather astounding. We're just going to pick up in one. Daniel's right after Ezekiel. So Isaiah. So Daniel was a man of God, and he got it on his heart. He read the prophecy, the children of Israel ought to be delivered out of Babylon, and he started to pray to that end. Now, he, in the first part of chapter 10, it says he prayed and fasted for 21 days. So it says he fasted sweetbread, so it wasn't what we'd call a complete fast, but he was fasting, all right? But I want you to look at verse number 12. Because an angel appeared to him, and this is what the angel said to him. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. From the first day. One of the reasons that we faint sometimes in regard to prayer is because we don't hear the answer, we don't get the answer, and so we faint or we lose heart, as Jesus said. And we don't understand that our words were heard the first day. Now, God's not a respecter of persons, all right? So he's not going to, you know, look at Judy and go, oh, I like Judy, so I'm going to hear her prayers and answer. That's not how our Father works. From the first day your words were heard, and look at this, and I have come because of your words. Wow. Do you realize that Almighty God comes with his presence and with answers because of your words? That's how powerful your words are. He comes for your words. When we address him, when you address him, he hears and he comes for your words. Now, I realize that, I mean, we could preach a week on this. I realize there's unanswered prayer. I've prayed a lot on, you know, prayers that I felt like never got answered. I've sure prayed a whole lot that got answered. Have you? Or some you're still waiting, wondering, did he hear me? The answer is yes. And he's coming for your words. Now, let me explain the but this angel said, but you know what? I had trouble getting here. There were adversaries that resisted me. He's talking about actually satanic forces. So, you know, we're in a battle. We're in a battle of words, actually. Right? Let me just say this. If you're praying for peace, anybody here, first thing that came to me, other than praying for Bob, was to pray for peace for Betty's heart. If you're praying for peace in your heart because you're anxious about something, And when you talk to your friends, all you talk about is how anxious you are. It's not going to work. Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Isn't that something? You need to make sure that your speaking lines up with your praying. What you're saying lines up with what you're praying, because it makes a difference. You hear me? It makes a difference. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can actually, after you pray for something, one of the best things to do is get an attitude of thanksgiving to God for it. Thank you, Father, that you've heard me. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I give you thanks in your name. No, in the name of Jesus. So keep giving thanks. Keep giving. But it's important to understand that your word's been heard, and he's coming for your words. Now, somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. For me, it changed my whole prayer life when I learned to pray God's word. When I learned to agree with the word of God. So we've got the word that's so powerful that the Bible says it's alive and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, right? In Hebrews 4:12. And so when we pray the word and agree with God in his word, it's a sharp sword. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Here's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Colossae. Actually, he was in prison when he wrote this. So kind of tough situation, and he was in jail. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many of you would appreciate if somebody prayed that for you every day? Prayed that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk in a manner worthy of him, be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Let's just stop right there because he goes on to other things. Filled with the knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You know, it's one thing to be righteous before God. It's another thing to walk in righteousness. Righteousness on the right hand and the left. Walk in a manner worthy of him, fruitful. Through the Spirit, fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with power for all patience and endurance. When I got a hold of that, I started praying that for everybody. Everybody I prayed for. I prayed it for my family, for my four kids, for the people in the church I pastored. I prayed it for everybody. Because I got so excited that I could agree with God's word I didn't have to come up with my own prayer. How many of you find it at times, I don't know, I don't pray because I don't know what to pray. I run out of words. Anybody ever run out of words when you're praying? Well, you don't have to, because there's enough prayers here, right here in your Bible that you can pray that you don't ever have to run out of words. Now, There's a lot of different expressions You can pray just out of the abundance of your heart, right? Just pray what's in your heart. You want to be careful that you don't pray the problem more than you do the solution. You want to hear me? Yeah, you know, we can pray the problem. We can go on and talk about how bad it is, and I think the Lord's like, hey, I already know that, right? So, to me, this is one of the ways we pray the solution. Right here. Go, turn back to the left of Philippians. So, somebody said, well, I don't know that. How do I pray that? Memorize it. And you'll memorize it when you pray it. Well, I'm in my car and I spend time in my pickup or I put it on a 3x5 card. You pray that for a week and you'll memorize it. Then it'll be in your heart. Then you can pray that anytime. You can pray that for the doctors, for Bob Sisman, that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will, with wisdom. Give them wisdom. Right? Praying for the church, praying for fellow believers, praying for, you know, fellow believers that come here, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Pray that God strengthen them with his power. To all patience and endurance. How many of you know one thing about praying for patience? You'll get the opportunity to exercise it. You know that? He said in Ephesians 3, another prayer, Paul prayed that they would be strengthened in their inner man with might according to the rich treasury of his glory. And that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. Now, you know this. They'd be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints and know what is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. What a prayer to pray. What a prayer to pray for your family. What a prayer to pray for brothers and sisters. What a prayer. I don't, how many of you are familiar with a ministry called... sure, I know it. The Voice of Martyrs. Anybody familiar with that? Yeah. I think that prayer, fill them with the knowledge of your will, with all which strengthen them. I think that'd be very appropriate. That's one of the prayers I pray for them, for the leaders of that ministry, for Cole Richards and the staff there, and then the people that they minister to, the persecuted church. All right, but look here. You go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. And I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. Well, that's a great prayer. That's another prayer that we could agree with. So you can pick out, there's so many. Let me give you one more that's my favorite. Hebrews chapter 13. See, these are divinely inspired prayers. These are prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. If you think the Word of God is powerful at all, if you put any stock in the power of the Word of God, you can see how important it is to pray, to agree with His Word, which is His will. Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A lot of similarities to that other prayer we looked at, but to make you complete. To make you complete. So arm yourself with the Word of God to pray the Word. The Spirit of the Lord said to me just in my heart many, many years ago. He said this, pray what you read in the Bible. Very simple. Pray what you read. Well, okay, that has application to a point. There's some things in Ezekiel that I'm probably not going to pray that I read. Don't have application. You follow me? Or Genesis or Deuteronomy or Leviticus. But the things that have application that you're reading, your prayer, your mouth, there's life and death in the power of your tongue. You can speak life by agreeing with what the Word of God says. I use the Psalms to praise God a lot, did this morning actually. A lot of different Psalms that you can sing or that you can pray, or you can speak in agreement with the Word of God. Praising worship is a form of prayer, right? Praying for other people is what we've kind of focused on, but praise and worship is maybe the most powerful kind of prayer. I use a lot of scriptures in Revelation. Revelations 4 and 5, where it talks about, you know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all power and honor and glory be unto you. Lots of scripture there that you can just use, that you can just say, speak or sing. Use your Bible as a way to help you to pray. You've got the ammunition. You've got it right here to pray and not faint. All right? What am I saying? No excuses for not knowing how to pray. Here it is right here. You know how to pray. You just pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or in Jesus' name. And you can pray the word. Now, there's other, you know, we don't have time to explore everything. You understand that. But you can pray the word and know that you've engaged, that you've been faithful, that you're not going to be one that faints, right? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. One of the ways to pray, if there was ever a time for the body of Christ to pray, it's now. It's election year. Praying for God to raise up people that are worthy to be elected. Now, if you're like me, if you listen to too much media, you won't pray about the government. You'll just think, what's the use? Anybody been there? It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And we as the body of Christ ought to be the ones that are praying for the election, praying for godly men and women, praying for Wendy Peeker to get elected in the state of Iowa. Amen? Praying for godly men and women to be elected. It's not just the presidential election that's up for election, right? Lots of you know, seats in the Senate, in the Congress that we can be praying for. Now, look here in Ephesians chapter 6. The end of Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. We're not going to talk about all of it, but verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? So it's a sword, a sharp, two-edged sword. Revelations talks about the revelation that John saw in Revelation, the different things he saw. One of the things he saw was a two-edged sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. I'm like, wow. Paul talked about that over here. Paul talked about that in Hebrews 4. I wonder if the Word of God is a sword out of our mouth. Look what he says, which is the word of God. There's no sentence, there's no period there. This continues on. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's connected to the armor. Really, in many ways, being sure that you've got the armor on right prepares you to pray, prepares you to be a person to pray. The breastplate of righteousness, knowing who we are in Christ, which is a foundation. You know, there's a very very good golfer who's number one in the world in the men. Right now, he's won like 4 out of the last 5 tournaments. If you follow golf, you know who he is. And you know what? He's a solid Christian. And they can't get to him. The press just frustrates them because they're like, well, you know, how will this winning this, you know, this major, how this change your life? He's like, you know, change my life at all. What do you mean it's not going to change your life? He's like, my identity is in the cross. My identity is in Jesus Christ. Whether I win or lose, it's not going to change me at all as a person. And they're like, oh, next question. I don't think I have one. Oh, it's these millions, it's going to, you know, he's won $20 million or almost $20 million so far this year. It's April. How's it going to change your life? It's not. Because my foundation, my security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's having the breastplate of righteousness on and fits well. Follow what I'm saying? Now, sure, is he happy? Sure. He says he's extremely competitive, hates to lose. How many of you hate to lose? Don't raise your hands or elbow your spouse. I hate to lose. I think God put it in us to hate to lose, to be victorious, right? So the breastplate of righteousness is important. But then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Now, you have to decide your priorities of who you're going to pray for. I like to start with me. You say, well, isn't that selfish? Well, I don't know. If I'm not strong in the Lord, then I'm not going to be able to not faint. I pray this prayer in Colossians, God to fill me with the knowledge of his will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I can walk in a manner worthy of him. It strengthened me in my inner. Is that selfish? No. It's agreeing with God's word. God wants me to, he wants you to be strong, right? Well, if you don't like that, put you last. But don't forget to pray for yourself and agree with God's word. And then pray for your family. Pray for your spouse if you have one, or your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Some of us have those. Then pray for the body of Christ in this area. Pray for the state of Colorado. Pray for your nation. Pray for the voice of the martyrs. Whatever. But have some understanding. I used to have a list. Man, let me tell you something. I used to just pray that list. Man, I just hammer that list out. Because it helped me to not forget, you know, who and what to pray for. But, you know, if you have a quiet time or spend time with God and you have prayer time, that's great, but don't let that be the end of your praying time. You follow me? You can pray throughout the day when people come to your mind, when you think about something. Pray, oh, Father, fill them with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so they walk in a manner worthy of you. Be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of you. Strengthen them in their inner man. The power of your spirit. To patience and endurance, that with thanksgiving they can give joy unto you. Amen. Life and death's in the power of your words. And you, as a child of God, have a responsibility to stand up and say, Lord, here I am, use me, I'll pray. And people say, well, I don't know what my role in the body of Christ is. Well, I can give you one. It's to pray. May not be to preach. there's a privilege in prayer, and you'll get excited. If you've never prayed the Word of God, you'll get excited to pray and agree. And know this, that your words are heard, and God Almighty still comes for your words. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such a great salvation, that you've created us in a way to know you, to know your love. And as people who would agree with you, Father, agree with your will on the earth, that it be done. Agree that your will be done in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. All kinds of prayer. That you've invited us and commissioned us to come to you, to the throne of grace. And to be people that pray and are faithful to pray and not faint. Knowing that we have a just judge, not one that condemns, but one that's for us. So, Father, stir the hearts of these, your people. Open the eyes of their hearts with wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you regarding prayer. Revive their prayer lives, I ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And strengthen them to walk in a manner that's worthy of you every day, Father. Father, revive them. Revive them in your word. Let your word come alive to them like it's never has before. Father, we continue to pray for Bob Sitzman, that you would give the doctors wisdom, that you would bring him back to health, give Betty peace in her heart. Thank you for your grace for them and their family. And Lord, we just love you and thank you for the time that we can have together with you and with one another. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.